Before we get started, I want to say a big thank you to everyone who has stepped in through our Patreon site to support what Skirmish Play does, to kind of help our mission out, to help us do some unique things. That's made it possible for us to upgrade some of our equipment this year. We're really excited to take it out there. We did that over the summer, to take it out there, make some things happen this fall, some kind of unique things. And you guys with Patreon have really made that possible. We hope more folks will jump on board with us. Come on and support us. You can check it out at patreon.com/skirmishplay. Definitely want to have anybody who is excited about what we're doing over here, excited about our mission, to jump in and come out and support us. So that's definitely a critical part of what we do. So thanks a lot, and enjoy the podcast. This is Bart Isley. I'm here with Ryan Yeaman for the latest edition of the Skirmish Play podcast. And right off the top, we'd like to thank the SP podcast presenting sponsor, C&G Paving. If you want your paving or asphalt job done right the first time, you want C&G to knock it out. With 30 years of experience under owner Jeff Gray, this family-owned local business has been taking care of roads, parking lots, and driveways across Central Virginia for decades, and with a 5-star rating on Facebook, you know they're going to get it right. Give them a call at 540-456-6179 today for a free estimate. We want to start, we're digging into basketball. You can probably see up on the website, we've got a brand new issue that dives into local basketball, gives you an idea of who's really stepped up in a transition year, a year where a lot of stars graduated last year. So we've seen a lot of new faces that have taken center stage, highlighting a lot of that. Sure, there are some kids that are back that are just tremendous players. We all know Sam Burnell's out there. We know a lot of players are out there, but a lot of kids that have stepped up in a big way into new roles and into expanded roles and have played really well. So definitely give that a look. And we want to start. We've been doing this lately at the end of the podcast. We want to bring it up to the front. The C&G Smooth Operator of the Week, which is a basketball award for a boy and a girl who have been playing really well lately. And I think that we got to start. Let's start on the girls' side. Elizabeth Kaufman out of Western Almar has really gotten things going.
Yeah, we got to see her over at Charlottesville on the road on Friday, and just a really versatile guard. I feel like if she wanted to, if this was Chris Wright's style, she could go off for 20 any single night. But that's not Western's game plan. They like to get a lot of different people involved. I think that bodes well for them, in the future, because you just don't want to have one of those situations where if Kaufman gets in foul trouble, all of a sudden the offense dries up. But yeah, her season averages are great, where you look at roughly around 12 points a game, 4 assists. She's shooting 37% of her 3-point shots. She's knocking 37% of them down, so that's pretty slick. But yeah, 3.6 rebounds. Against Charlottesville, she had 16 points, 7 rebounds, 3 steals, 2 assists. Then the next day against Powhatan, it's 13, 4 rebounds and 2 assists. Just a really nice stat line, really evenly sort of distributed. And then as far as guards go, I just don't know that there's anybody in the Jefferson District that is as comfortable bringing the ball up the court as she is. That doesn't go into a stat sheet, but you could see it when any team's pressing Western. Kaufman is the most valuable player on the court.
Yeah, and she's getting a lot of help. The Plants girl's been playing really well next to her. She's really stepped up. We wrote a little bit about that last week on the site. So this is a Western team that's it's coming together really well, and a big reason is because Kaufman is a uniter. I mean, she not only covers up some mistakes, but she makes a lot of the players around her a lot better. And that's a big step for a girls' basketball team in a wide-open Jefferson District.
And in the Charlottesville game, the other thing that you could see is that there's not a lot of panic in her game.
Yeah.
And Charlottesville comes racing back. Western had that game look like it was over before they get to the end of the first half. Charlottesville comes racing back, gets it to, I think it was 28-26 at one point, and all Western's getting offensively from there on out is free throws, and it's Kaufman knocking them down. I think she went 5 or 6 in the fourth.
Mm-hmm.
And just very cool and collected. I think it was good to see Western sort of worrying about its score total as opposed to Charlottesville. Like, just let's just take care of us, and you know, the game will balance out. There's always going to be runs in games that make you feel slightly uncomfortable, but it's not that big of a deal. Just sort of weather the storm.
On the boys' side, when you blow up, there are other games that have bigger crowds. There are other games that maybe have more chippiness, more rivalry type stuff. But when it comes to just sheer volume of talent, when Blue Ridge and Miller are out there on the floor, they're battles. It's talent. There's chess match. There's all kinds of, these are great games, a lot of fun to watch. And if you're going to blow up for 28 points in that game, you are quite easily the pick for Smooth Operator of the Week. Andre Hyatt out at Miller, just a tremendous game from him. And he's a guy that really can take things over because he is such a mismatch problem.
Yeah, I mean, because he likes to shoot from beyond the arc, but he's a big man.
Yeah.
So, I mean, what do you do there? I mean, he's you look at his stat line, 18.3 points. He's hitting 32% of his threes, 55% of his field goals, and then, you know, the height factor, 8.3 rebounds a game. Yeah. So there's just a lot of different ways to make him work. And I think what's cool with Blue Ridge and Miller and within that rivalry, that it's getting back to where it was a couple years ago that we saw in 2010 when they lined up in the state tournament together. I think they did it again in 2011. But they were just playing four and five times a season. Last year, we got back to that with Miller. Miller really taking a step forward as a program, and Blue Ridge being at their sort of perennial state, number one or two in the state ranking. So we're going to get a couple more of these games probably. I mean, we got at least one more in the regular season, probably another in the BIC.
Probably one more in the state.
And then probably another in the state. So yeah. It's pretty cool to see Andre stepping up, having a big game there, and hopefully that's not the last time we've seen a great game like that. I mean, you got to see it. It seemed like it was a real cool back and forth.
Yeah, Miller just kept answering, and Hyatt was a big reason why, man. When he's knocking down six threes in a game, I just don't really know what to do with him when he's in that sort of groove. It was just a lot of fun to watch, and I'm a big fan. Let's go ahead and dive into Miller. Big, you know, obviously Andre Hyatt, big, individual performance, heck of a game, Smooth Operator of the Week. Happy to give that to him. Looking at Miller, like you said, huge strides last year. This year, you look at them and they're a little bit better. They're a little bit, more. And Deshaun Wade is really like this engine that makes them go. That he is just a heck of a basketball player, headed to ECU. It's not just that he can score in so many different ways, but it's also that he plays defense. He takes a lot of pride in his defense.
He's the energy of that team. So
yeah.
I mean, that's the other thing is the way he's playing on the court, it's going to get the other guys hyped up. When he's having a good game and he just, I don't know, there's a lot of, you can just see that he's a spark plug kind of guy.
And you throw him in, and you throw Day-Day Hearn in, and then you throw the big man from London in. And then, I mean, there's just a lot of guys. They're throwing a lot at you, a lot of very versatile. Like, in the past, like any team, like we've seen guys that are big guys that can't move particularly well. All their guys are athletes.
Yeah.
Everybody's running. Everybody's moving. I mean, they are very sort of quick twitch, dynamic type guys, and it's been a lot of fun. The best Miller teams probably, who knows? Like, we're going to see what this team kind of brings up. But the Hippolyte Tissafac and the Brees Kofani,
2009, they
Marshawn Powell, yep. those guys, those teams were just tremendous talents. The front court went like 6'8", 6'9", 6'10", or something ridiculous like that. But these guys are a very different style. They play defense really hard. They're a lot of fun to watch. They really make games entertaining. And they're doing it the right way. They're playing good, solid basketball.
Yeah, I think that triumvirate of Andre and then Deshaun and Day-Day, that's as good as a 1-2-3 that you get on pretty much any roster that we have on the boys' side. I mean, that is a really skilled group of athletes. And then Andre's the perfect example. A couple of guys that they can just do so many different jobs for you. You can put them in different positions. Because Day-Day's, very versatile guy too. And Wade at guard.
The way Hurd attacks the basket's unbelievable. He's just sort of He's very ferocious when he attacks the basket. He's
I feel like Wade's the same way too. I mean,
Tough, man. He's tough, and they faced a guard that is unbelievable, sort of a Central Virginia version of Steph Curry in our man Darius McGee out of Blue Ridge. McGee just continues to be. I mean, it felt like, hey, they really held Darius McGee in check tonight. And then you looked, and I think he had 25. You know, one book had him at 19, one had him at 25, whatever. If you look at a guy and you're like, oh, like he had an okay night, or they kind of held him in check, and he's still in that 19, 20, whatever range, that's incredible. I mean, and it just shows what kind of expectations McGee has set with the way that guy has played. I mean, Darius McGee's just off the charts good.
Yeah, and Cade Lemke talked about it a couple weeks ago. If you want to see somebody that's just playing full tilt defense every minute he's on the floor, McGee's the guy to watch. There's a lot that goes sort of lost in the stat sheet. And, you know, he's got great offensive numbers all around, but the pressure he's able to apply, and just it's full bore, nonstop. He's just always grinding and hustling out there. It's a real interesting show that he puts on.
Yeah, and I think I stole the Steph Curry comparison from Danny Manuel out there at Miller. He is a huge fan of McGee. Like anybody pretty much who watches Darius McGee play, yeah, you got to be a fan of that guy. He plays super hard. He's not the tallest guy, but he plays like 6 inches taller than he is because he can really get up. And he's just a lot of fun to watch. Liberty's getting a darn good one there, no question about it. And then you look at this, like you said, we're going to see this matchup a number of different times again, but don't be surprised if Blue Ridge gets the better of them next time. You know, I mean, it's just, there's going to be this nip and tuck. There's going to be this chess match.
I don't think, and this is exactly how it played out when they were used to playing, you know, this last year and the, you know, years before when they would line up so many times. You just don't take a lot away from one game because you're not going to see the real game plan until everything's on the line in the state tournament. And we saw it last year, the final meeting between these two. Like, Blue Ridge had a little something extra for that meeting, whereas the previous meetings have been a lot closer. It looked like Miller might push through on one of them.
To get this group, they went 0-5 against this Blue Ridge team last year for Miller. You know, this group of guys.
Getting that win is huge in the confidence department. They know they can do it. So that sets a different stage for them. But you're going to have to do it more than once.
No question. So that takes you through a lot of what's kind of going on the private school side with the boys. On the public school side, Albemarle just keeps rolling. They are so dynamic, so much fun to watch. They really do a lot of different things, and it's just guys coming at you from every angle. And they've won so many different ways. They won by knocking people out early and rolling. They've won in, you know, dramatic fashion with Max Jarman's, you know, end-to-end run in the holiday tournament. I mean, they've just done a lot of different things. They're finding a lot of different ways to win. And if you had said, I mean, I know for sure that if you had offered Greg Maynard, hey, you'll be unbeaten sometime around, you know, mid to late January with a group, and you've lost Austin Katcher and Jake Hahn, no question he'd take this. This is pretty fantastic.
Yeah, I think the Louisa win and the St. Anne's win, especially with St. Anne's, the improvements that they've made, they've been picking up some nice wins in the prep league. Those look really good right now, because Louisa, the other team sitting there at like 12-2, who, I mean, it is really just those two teams in the JD at the top of the pecking order. Yeah. Everybody else is sort of beating up on each other, but those two just keep piling up the wins. We get another Albemarle Louisa meeting. That's going to be huge. That's going to set the table for February. I think that's January 30th that comes up out in Mineral. So if Albemarle can come up big again against a, it'll be a different looking Louisa team than they saw in December.
Certainly, yeah.
And Albemarle knew that. They talked about it after that win, that they expected.
Similar to that first meeting of Miller and Blue Ridge, you can't take a lot out of that one, right?
Yeah, especially that was so close to football season. Mm-hmm. There's just a lot of different moving pieces to that animal. But those two teams right now, I mean, you expected Albemarle to be good, but to be perfect, that's pretty sweet.
Yeah, I mean, Jaquan Anderson, I mean, we've talked about him 100 different times, and it feels like 100 different sports. I mean, the guy's a gamer. He plays just relentlessly hard.
Everything that we said about Deshaun Wade applies to Jaquan Anderson.
I agree.
There's that, just that energy and that explosiveness that he brings to the court.
When they go into that mode, both those guys, I mean, they're they're top-notch athletes, and they play like it. And when they go in that mode, they do look a little bit on the unstoppable side. They get in that, that Sonic the Hedgehog type role, and you just, there's not really a lot you can do. Everybody's just kind of bouncing off of them, and they're just kind of pouring it in. So,
and you have guys that he gets to kick out to, because, I mean, he's going to basket so much. And Cartier Key is a shooter. And Jarman can hit shots.
And Hal Arnold can actually hit shots. Like, let's not overlook that guy. He's been doing a lot of the dirty work. But
I mean, Hal Arnold can up on the glass too. Yeah,
there's no question about it. I mean, you throw in Keyshawn Allen. I mean, there's just guys. They got a lot of different guys that are contributing in a big way. So it's a lot of fun to watch. Mm-hmm. And Louisa, you know, the other night, Shelton had a big, huge night for them. I think he had 28. Mm-hmm. I mean, any night, it feels like anybody from Louisa can blow up for 25.
The thing that separates this Louisa team from previous ones, I mean, aside from just the record right now, but it's the depth that they have. They got so many different guys. They can throw a lot of minutes at a lot of people.
It'd be really interesting to watch how that matchup plays out. We got a couple more weeks before it. If they both kind of keep rolling, keep things going, that one has the potential to just be a huge one at Louisa's place. I heard they had a DJ at a game recently, so they got a little something rolling out there at Louisa. Not a big surprise to see a Louisa County team have some passion around it, yep. But it's nice to see it be a transfer to the winter as well. So we're going to definitely look forward to that one. That one's going to be a lot of fun coming up. Over on the girls' side, we're talking about teams that keep rolling, and William Monroe just kind of keeps on rolling right now.
Yeah, I mean, every team has to ask themselves what they're going to do about Sam Brunel. Mm-hmm. And it seems like Monroe really keeps improving around her so that, you know, while she's clearly more than capable of doing everything herself, she's finding a way to distribute and get everybody involved and make this team better suited for the playoffs. The development of Haley Morris at guard has been huge.
It's helping out, man. Haley Morris is just making those strides, man. She's just absolutely just kind of getting a little bit better each week, giving them a lot of help. They're getting wins on the road. Brunel's rebound numbers are like hockey sticking up somehow, and like she's already at 18 boards a game. It seems like lately she's just been like, they've just been ramping up in a big way.
I mean, her double doubles are like, she gets 25 and 25.
They're two double doubles in one. It's bonkers. And I think that, you know, we knew the Northwestern District was going to be a little bit more of a challenge for them this year than the Bull Run has been, but so far, so good. I mean, they got to feel pretty good about things, and if they can kind of just keep on track and everybody can kind of keep, you know, picking it up and playing well, and if Morris is able to handle the pressure in those big games when the playoffs roll around, that's going to be a big difference maker.
Yeah, I think the big thing for Monroe is while you're happy to win a lot of these games by large margins, what you want to see is stuff like the Wilson Memorial game where they're razor thin margins, mm-hmm. and you're coming out, because when the young players respond to that pressure in a positive light, it makes all the difference come February and March when the pressure really gets dialed up to another level.
Brunel's just a wild trump card, though, man. I mean, like, you can be, you know, Pluvanna had an edge on him. Wilson Memorial, like, seemed to be right there or had an edge on him, and then they lay down the ace, and it's trouble.
Yeah.
When Brunel kind of gets into her groove, and she starts making some stuff happen, and it isn't always necessarily like 30 straight points by Sam Brunel. I mean, sometimes it is, but it isn't always that. Sometimes it's like three or four ridiculous passes that set people up for super easy layups, and they're finishing those layups this year. That hasn't always been the case. This year they're finishing some of those layups, and that's making a big difference.
Yeah, you definitely noticed the finishing underneath the basket. That was a real struggle for them last year.
Yeah, give it up for Velasquez. Strother, you know, was good. You know, like she was a pretty good player. Velasquez is sort of filling a similar role. As long as Velasquez like slows down, knocks down the shots, like she's going to get some open layups. Like the bottom line is, when you're playing with Sam Brunel, you're going to get some open layups, and they're taking advantage of them right now. They're playing the role that they're supposed to play.
Yeah, and by far away the public team that is sort of the one to beat right now, because in the JD everybody's just beating each other. So I mean,
JD's
a level of parity that I know the coaches sort of they love and hate, because every game is stressful, but it's also great because it's such good competition.
We're seeing so many teams that are in some interesting stage of development. You got a ton of sophomores at Fluvanna County with also some new freshmen put into the mix. A completely revamped Charlottesville team. You know, you got album art, working out some of the kinks and trying to figure that stuff out. And then Monticello, who lost their coach right before the beginning of the year, is now starting to pick up some steam and play better. And Shiflet Girl for them has just been, she was tremendous against Western Albemarle. So it does look like that Western is starting to find its groove and playing consistent every night. Now that we've said that, likely we'll be headed to more turmoil, but it does feel like they're playing well.
But the big thing with Western and Charlottesville met, I think Charlottesville had won like 9 straight. Western had won 5 straight. They pick up the win there. And then with Powhatan, so they're 6-0, I think now, or 7-0. In their last 7 games, they're really on a roll. Those two teams sort of set themselves up nicely for that game Friday, and it sort of played out and fascinating. I don't know if it's an issue that Charlottesville didn't come out ready, or I mean, eventually they got back into that game. But I think next time if we see them line up again, I mean, they've already played the 2 regular season meetings, but if we see them in a tournament fashion, that there might be a little bit more hype behind this one, because Charlottesville's, while they're so young, I think they're going to be so much more experienced by that point.
I sort of vaguely remember that being an issue for the Destiny McDonald and Elijah Ragland group early in their career, too, was that Western's defensive intensity and sort of the way they don't make a lot of mistakes defensively, and that they create some turnovers, but they also sort of wear you down, that created some problems for them. I seem to vaguely remember that, and they figured it out
and
met that intensity.
In this game, there's 3 big turnovers at the end, and 2 of them are sort of completely unforced.
Mm-hmm.
Things that you can fix, you know, just sort of inbounding plays, like an inbounding violation. Those are readily fixable. And so you're going to see Charlottesville get better in those sort of pressure issues. But that Western, I mean, we talked about it at the beginning, when you have a steady hand like Kaufman, you're going to start getting winning streaks like this, and we'll see how long they can keep it going. But I mean, we saw in December they have to keep watch on Flubana, because Nevaeh Ivory, another very good guard that you have to worry about.
She gave Kaufman some problems in their first meeting, and that's why Flubana picked up that win.
Yeah, so this is the rest of that JD slate is, I mean, it's still troublesome.
It's wild. Over on the private school side, and the girls, St. Anne's picked up a huge win over St. Cat's in a rivalry game on Friday. That one's a really big one for them.
Yeah, and they had a real stinging loss against Trinity Episcopal a couple weeks ago, just a last-second deal, and I think they lost by 1 point. So that really sort of sucked the wind out of their sails, and it's been, you know, an adjustment period when you lose a 4-year starter like Tinsley was for them. There's so much that girl did for that team.
Yeah, let's give it up for Bree Tinsley. She's up there starting at UVA right out of the gate. That's pretty darn impressive. And maybe, I don't know, we had her as the player of the year for the last two years of her career. We may have even been underrating her. I mean, if you're going there, you're starting right out of the gate in the ACC, you're doing something right.
Yeah, and so St. Anne's, you have a huge adjustment to make there, and it seems like they're starting to make that. They play a pretty fantastic schedule.
Yeah,
Phil Skinny doesn't cut his teams many breaks, especially with his out of...
go down to that Boo Williams tournament, find some squads. I mean, they're tough. And they came out of that, I think, like 2-1 or something. I mean, they got some wins. You got to feel pretty good. Like, you can't judge them based on those early season losses. You got to judge them on how they're handling the LAS. They went toe-to-toe with a really good Trinity team. They beat St. Cat's, that's a rival team, and they were largely in control of that one, I felt like. I mean, it was Jovia Winkie was running that show. And you put her together with Sierra Smith. You know, we know what Vanessa Woodfolk brings to the
table. Yep.
But it's the kids around them that have to fill those gaps. That's always sort of the case with Stab, is that, like, you know what 2 or 3 players are going to do, but they've got to have those other players that kind of step in and fill those roles. At one point, it was Winkie when she was young. She was the one who kind of stepped in and made a lot of plays.
Yeah, defensively especially.
Jada Bennett, though, now is stepping up. Like, did not score, which I thought was interesting because she was relentlessly attacking the basket. But it created, you know, unsettled situations and quick rebounds, because you got Sierra Smith is just going to clean the boards. Like, there's no question, as good a natural rebounder and as good an effort rebounder. You put those two things together, she's pretty good. She has a natural talent for it, and then she brings that kind of high-end effort. That's what makes her an elite rebounder. She's been that way forever. So to see them sort of picking up steam, that record does not tell you what St. Anne's is, because they are out playing the toughies.
Yeah, all you need to know about St. Anne's is that they're always in the Final Four at the end of the season. It doesn't really matter what their record is. They find a way to get there. And, you know, it's at the Division I level. That means something.
No question about it. So, St. Anne's played really well right now. The Miller School is also starting to play pretty well right now, and they're getting some good contributions from some young players.
They graduated so much off of that team last year, and that was a real sort of coup de grace state title win for them.
That one kind of came out of nowhere a little bit.
Yeah, it was just sort of surprised you a little bit, and they just got really good late. Pretty much the same way they did when they won the state title the year before. Right. But yeah, right now they're out to a great start at 14-3, and you know, they've got Nava Hunter with 16.6 points per game, and then Olivia Wagner at guard. She got a lot of experience in that state tournament last year. She's got 16.8 points. And so we'll see how Miller sort of chugs along here as they get close to the postseason. They're going to you know, hope to get some competition out of their conference and get them primed up for a Division II run.
Perfect. Well, obviously, between this podcast and the new issue, you should be completely caught up on what's going on in basketball right now. Up at the top, we have the C&G Smooth Operator of the Week. We want to thank C&G Paving for sponsoring that and the podcast, as always. And we appreciate it. And we'll be back with you next week, really starting to move towards that postseason. It's coming up a lot faster than you think. So thanks a lot. Thanks for listening, and we'll be back with you next week.